Been quite the weekend to be here just to watch a theatrical production be used by God to change lives and move people's hearts. I'm so glad I was here to see it. I'm going to pray, and I have you have to do some thinking with God in a moment. Father, bless this to us. Make it real. Make it alive. Make us thankful for the invisible things, the great invisible things that you have done for us that we cannot see, but they're ours. In Jesus' name. Amen. I want you to suppose for a minute that you are Almighty God. I know that sounds almost blasphemous. Just consider that you're part of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and you're counseling together. In Acts 2:23, there was a predeterminate council that they considered things together. We also see it in Genesis where it says, "Let us make man in our image." They worked on this together. So you're in this council, and you're looking down from heaven, and you're looking at mankind. And he says, you know, there's more needs than people, if you will, because many of us have many needs. And the Father says to the Son and the Spirit, well, what do they really need most? And the Son and the Spirit says, well, we know what they need most. We all know that. But the Spirit says, but what they need most is invisible. And the Son says, well, if we gave it to them, they wouldn't know they had it because it's invisible. How are they going to know? Oh, we have kind of a problem here. And the Father says, I have a solution. And the Holy Spirit says, oh, now we get it too. Well, what is that? Well, we will pair two miracles together. We will do one miracle that is incredible, impossible before their eyes. And with it, we will do a miracle that they cannot see, an invisible miracle. So that they can do a little thinking and do, if he can do this visible miracle, then he can do the invisible one too. Now, let's show you that on the scripture. Go to Matthew chapter 9, verse 2. Then behold, they brought to him a paralytic lying on a bed. When Jesus saw their faith, he said to the paralytic, Son, be of good cheer, your sins are forgiven you. That word forgiven you is not the forgive that we think of in English. Can you say Afiemi? It's not two girls' names, but it's Afiemi. That's the word, to forgive. Well, what does it mean? Literally, it means to send away. So what Jesus actually said to this paralytic is, be of good cheer, your sins have been sent away. Oh. See, I can forgive someone. I say, I'm not going to hold you on account. I'm not going to begrudge you for what you did to me. I'm not going to tell people about it. In no way am I going to retaliate for it. I'm just going to forget it. But forgiveness goes beyond that. Forgiveness means taking the sin and sending it away from the sinner. So Jesus says, be of good cheer. Your sins have been sent away. Can we see that? No, it's invisible. We just have to trust that God did it. But he pairs it with another miracle that's just as impossible that we can see. And then he at once, some of the scribes said within themselves, this man blasphemies. Well, what was blasphemous about what he did and what he said? Well, only God can send sins away. He's making himself out to be and to do what only the Almighty can do. And that way they considered it blasphemy. He's making himself to be God. Only God can send away sin. This man blasphemies, but Jesus, knowing their thoughts, said, why do you think evil in your hearts? For which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, arise and walk? But that you may know that the Son of Man has power on earth to forgive sins. Then he said to the paralytic, rise, take up your bed, and go to your house. Now, he actually performed two visible miracles. Number one, he healed the man's body so he could walk. And of course, if you haven't walked in years or maybe never, then you have to train the body to walk. So he heals them and trains them instantly to walk, and the man grabs the bed and walks off. No physical therapy needed. And what were they to conclude? If he can do the one miracle and can instantaneously heal a man who cannot walk, then he can do the other miracle and he can send our sins away, and he has power to do it, and he's Almighty God. He pairs the visible miracle with the invisible miracle. Now, let's go a step further with this thing. Let's do this on a grander scale and pair the visible with the invisible. This time, go to Matthew 27:45. Jesus is on the cross at this point. He was there from the third hour to the sixth hour. But at the sixth hour, things got really strange. Now, from the sixth hour until the ninth hour, there was darkness all over the land. And about the ninth hour, Jesus cried out with a loud voice, saying, "Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani?" That is, "My God, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Now, there's a visible sign going on. The sky goes dark for 3 hours. Some historians looking back and says, what was an eclipse? An eclipse can last for 6.5 minutes. This is about 180 minutes of total darkness in the middle of the day. It is utterly impossible, and it's happening before their eyes. If it was some kind of eclipse and God just said, moon, stand still, sun, stand still for the next 3 hours, hold it. Who knows? But obviously what it tells us is there is nothing too hard for God to do. The Almighty One has turned the lights off. That's the visible miracle. And it's funny because you really don't see it. It's a miracle you don't see. It's dark. And it's really much like his resurrection. It's the unmiracle. Yes, his believers saw the resurrected Christ, but what did the rest of the world see? An empty tomb, the unmiracle. Not what you see, but what you don't see. And this is what he's doing here. Now, with that, paired with that visible sign of 3 hours of absolute complete darkness, the Apostle Paul understood the invisible miracle that was going on, and he wrote about it in 2 Corinthians 5:21. He said, "He made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God." What's he saying? Your sins were sent to the cross on the 14th of Nisan in about 30 AD. I wasn't born yet. How can I be sent there? God has foreknowledge. He knew about your sins before you ever committed any of them, past, present, and future. This is a miracle that supersedes time and space. My sins were sent to the cross on the 14th of Nisan, 30 AD. And the effect was that him who knew no sin became sin. What? How can that be? Well, how do you turn the lights off for 3 hours? Both are impossible miracles. One you can see, one you cannot see. But he does the one which is impossible to show you that he can do the other which is utterly impossible. Because with God there is nothing that is impossible. Now, this... You might say, let me give you some possibilities. Why the darkness? There are three that have occurred to me, and I want you to look. Oh, first about this darkness. There is a historian named Phlegon of Tralles in Turkey, or Asia Minor at the time, but it's in Turkey. And he wrote about this event, knowing nothing about what was going on in Jerusalem. But here's the quote by him. He says, "In the fourth year of the 202nd Olympiad, there was a great and remarkable eclipse of the sun above any that had happened before. At the sixth hour, the day was turned into darkness of night, so that the stars were seen in heaven." When the scripture says, you know, there was a darkness upon the land, it can mean the whole earth or the whole region. And there seems to be, I've actually read a report of two reports in Egypt spotting it, the one in Turkey spotting it. The whole region went dark for all, if you will, all the world to see. It's an incredible thing. Because the most important miracle that has ever happened at that moment. Your sins were transferred to the cross. Well, if that be, is there anything I have to do? He's already done it all. Well, like the paralytic, Jesus said, he saw their faith and he said, be of good cheer. Your sins are forgiven. You simply need to believe. And at that moment, that transfer affects your life. The first time I got hold of this miracle was the day I prayed to receive Christ. And afterwards, I says, I don't feel different. But something happened. What did they do to me? Something's different. And then I began to do something I'd really never done. I prayed in the name of Jesus, and the things I prayed for happened. I said, why is God listening to me? What? This is crazy. I'm a sinner. And he says, it has to do something with Jesus. And when I, you know, looked at 2 Corinthians, where it says, he who knew no sin became sin. I got it. My sins were transferred. And he could hear my prayer sinless. It's pretty good for a guy who's still a sinner. Yes, I know. It's hard to understand. It's hard to, but it's wonderful we have that experience. And let me close with just the thoughts on this 3 hours of darkness. Number one, in Psalm 22, in prophecy, we have a detailed description of Jesus' crucifixion. This is a psalm that begins, oh my God, why have thou forsaken me? And the second verse, and this is the one that he was fulfilling with this day and night crucifixion, if you will. I cry in the daytime, but you do not hear, and in the night season, and am not silent. To fulfill Psalm 22, he had to suffer in the day and in the night and cry out in both. And hear no answer from heaven at that time because he had become sin and God would not hear. So the Son is rejected instead of us being rejected. That's the craziness of the cross and the beauty of it. And one last thing about what's going on here. The darkness is part of a recreation of the penalty of sin. Sin brings forth death, and sin also brings forth the punishment, which is not just death, it's death in hell. And we know from the scripture, 2 Peter 2:17, among other verses, says that hell is a place of utter and absolute darkness. So Jesus is in a hell-like place. It is dark. His body is racked by pain from crucifixion, from the scourging, from the beating he received. He just waves of pain, absolute darkness. He says on the cross, I thirst. We know that that happens in hell because the rich man who died with Lazarus, that's what he wanted most. Two things. He wanted his brothers to be told not to go to this place. But if I could just have a drop of water on the tip of my tongue because I thirst. And Jesus thirsted. Jesus experienced the darkness. Jesus' body was racked by pain. The only thing that he heard is the weeping and cries of the other two men being crucified with him. It is hell. So Jesus takes hell for us on earth so that we who believe will never go there. Amen.
Wasn't that great? Amen? Great preacher. Wow. If you'd stand with me, just to change our positions and let the body digest all the food that was eaten. And also digest the spiritual food. Hebrews chapter 2. It was an awesome day, wasn't it? Still is. We're still living in today. It's great. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 14. For as much then as the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself likewise took part of the same, that he through death he might destroy him that had the power of death, that is the devil, Amen, huh? He destroyed the devil. A lot of people that give too much credit to the enemy. He's been destroyed. And deliver them, that's me and you, who through fear of death were all their lifetime subject to bondage. Father, we thank you tonight that you were partaker of flesh and blood. And through a perfect life and the victory of the cross, you destroyed him who had the power of death. And you took the fear of death away from us. No more fear of death. For perfect love casts out fear. Fear is gone. For God hasn't given us a spirit of fear, but of love, power, and a sound mind. Thank you, God. For fear, shame, and guilt can do such damage in my life. But fear replaced by finished work love, shame by a position in Christ, and guilt by the mercy of God. We thank you tonight for victory. Bless this night. Bless this ministry worldwide. Thank you, God, for all those watching on the internet. Thank you for each one here. In Jesus' name, amen. You may be seated. Good evening. Thanks for coming tonight. Wow. You can shake a little bit, right? You're okay? Okay. After my wife's amazing lasagna, I wasn't sure I could think tonight. Food has a way of going to your brain, doesn't it? Or somehow the blood all has to go here, and you become like brain dead after eating too much if you're not careful. And I've been just thinking today about this one word, actually since yesterday when we spoke at the lunch wrap about victory. And we used 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verses 14 through 16, where it says, "Now thanks," or "now grace be unto God, who always causes us to triumph in Christ." Isn't that great? "And makes manifest the savor of his knowledge in every place." And we use these three words, now, always, and in every place, that we are victorious people. But if we listen to the liar, then we do not fellowship with the truth of the victory. And we begin to look at our situations at times in life, and we do not, because of the way we look, really experience the victory that we have. And it's so amazing. I was thinking about how resurrection life, isn't that amazing? That we will never die. Say hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isn't that right? I mean, physically, I understand that. But he has removed the power of death. And I love what Jesus said in John chapter 11, when he came to the tomb of Lazarus. And that was amazing. The sisters are there saying, "If you had been here, my brother wouldn't have died." In other words, geographical faith. If you had been here, he wouldn't have died. Then Jesus said, "Your brother shall rise again." And then they became theological, like we do. You know, I know the resurrection. I know Easter. They became theological. Very interesting. I know our brother will rise again on the last day. And then Jesus made an amazingly powerful statement. "I am the resurrection and the life. He who lives and believes in me shall never die." Do you believe this? Lazarus, what? Out now. Isn't that what Pastor Stevens used to say? Out now. And then I can experience victory and the life of the Son of God every single day. Not just Easter, and praise the Lord for this amazing, incredible day that we have to celebrate what took place, but that every single moment of every single day, I can experience the victory of resurrection life. Are you with me? Hello? This is, you know, like in Africa, people wouldn't believe you if you said this, but people have been raised from the dead. Sorry to tell you that. Or happy to tell you that. No, raised from the dead. I'm sure in other places too. In Cambodia, I've read accounts of where things have happened like that. But I love this as far as in my spiritual life, I can experience the victory of God's resurrection life. I was thinking today as I was getting ready to come after eating. Thank God I didn't have to clean up the dishes. I had people that did that. I was thinking about the entire Trinity, as Pastor Handel kind of touched on a bit. The entire Trinity, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit were all involved in the resurrection. It says in Galatians 1 verse 1, the Father raised him from the dead. Amen? The one who has the purpose, the one who has the authority, the one who protects, raised him from the dead. But wait a minute. Then it says in John 2:19 that he raised himself from the dead. He raised himself from the dead. That's what John 2:19 did. But wait a minute. Then it says in Romans 8:11, the Spirit raised him from the dead. Wow, really? The Bible contradictory? No. They were all involved in the resurrection of Christ. And just like all of them are involved in me experiencing life and a victorious life on a daily basis. That I don't have to think like low thoughts. I can think with God. I can think with God. And I say, oh yeah, I know he'll rise. I know it's going to be better in heaven. No, it can be great right now. Now, always in what? Every place. We can experience the victory of God. And I think it's amazing because there's a liar out there who loves to penetrate the flesh through the world system to lie to us. I mean, just read Revelation chapter 12 if you have a chance tonight or this week. The enemy is given six names in that one chapter. Six different characteristics or aspects of his character. I mean, Satan, deceiver, accuser. I mean, it's incredible, right? It's incredible what he's called from Revelation chapter 12 on down to verse 9. Six different names the enemy is given. But you know what? Here's the conclusion. They overcame him. Say it. They overcame him. Marty Vieta, you got that? They overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they love not their own lives unto the death. That's awesome, isn't it? And it's not love based on me as a source, but love based on God because he first loved me and then I can love him. They overcame him. They overcame the enemy. They overcame, you overcome the flesh. We have victory. They once asked George Mueller, what is the success and why have you been so successful in bearing fruit? He said, I'm utterly dead. I said, what do you mean by that? He said, I'm dead to my flesh, Romans 6:6. The old man, doesn't say the old man was crucified. The old man is crucified. Hallelujah. I'm dead to the world, Galatians 6:14. The world is crucified unto me. And I'm dead to the influence of the devil. For he's been overcome by the blood of the Lamb. He said, Mueller said, I'm utterly dead. And he can experience the life of God. But victory, experiencing the victory that God has given us. It's like a person who wins a marathon and never goes to get, you know, the trophy or the award. He doesn't even realize he's won the marathon, although he's run. He doesn't know about the victory. And how many believers have been duped and blinded by the world, the flesh, and the devil, that they are defeated. There's a song that we have in Liberia. I know no defeat. I know no defeat. Jesus is my captain, and I know no defeat. Amen? Amen. You see that man up there? It was on the screen from Kinshasa, Pastor Marcel. I remember when he came to Bible school. This very thin guy that looked like he was eating three beans a day. I mean, really, I mean, you could blow him up the road. And he came and he said, I want to go to Bible school. And he came to Uganda to Bible school. And we had the Bible school in a place called Mengo. And when you then we had the Bible school in a place called Nakulabi. Remember that, Linda? And then you remember Nabagerica? Huh? And then what was that other third place? Where all the when I was preaching, I had to do this to wave away all these long things that would be flying at you. These big bugs with wings. And so while you were preaching, if you didn't do that, I had them come into my mouth a few times, spit them out and just keep preaching. What was the name of that place, Pastor Eugene? No, the one down below where the sewer was, where the flood came. Nachivubo. Well, what a place that was. Wow. One day my wife said, "It's raining out." I said, "So rain? It rains in Uganda." Listen to your wife, by the way, okay? It looks like it's raining pretty heavy. I said, I was in the middle of preaching a message call when the enemy comes in like a flood. The Spirit will lift up a standard against him. You know, Mr. Know-it-all. Oh, yeah, it's raining out. It's not bad. She goes, she's like this. Look it out there. We closed church. You were there. Were you there, Pastor Eugene? No, you weren't. Pastor Dwayne was there. And by the time we started to walk across the field, the water was to the knees. And she's like smiling, like, nice move, Pastor. We get to a bridge. We go over this wooden bridge. And as soon as we get over, the bridge washes out. Then we're up to our waist in water. And my waist means Pastor Dwayne's neck. And listen, no, this is amazing. And I just kept saying, "God, you got to lead us. We have victory. We're not going to be defeated. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit raises up a standard." And by the way, I recognized something as we started to walk in waist-length sewage water. Oh, it was off. It was amazing. Yeah. Yeah, by this time he stinketh, the two sisters said. Remember? After 4 days. And I realized that there are no sewer covers. There's no sewer covers. There's just open holes. Am I right? And you know what? You could see people dropping, getting sucked right down in front of you. And I said, "Holy Spirit, right now, more than ever, guide the footsteps." Because I told everybody, "Hold on to my back and you hold on to the behind. If you see me go down, go another way." All right? Go another way. It's not going to be good. And by the way, we made it all the way out. We walked a mile without dropping. It was God. Victory. We got home and she said, "Take those victorious clothes off. We're going to burn them." So everybody had to go outside by themselves after, take everything off, because it was horrifying. Victory. I'll never forget that time. It was amazing. And we realized that God is with us. Amen. That, you know, when it says you're more than a conqueror, do you know what that means? I'm sure you do. It means even when people think you're defeated, you've won. You won. You won. You're victorious. It looks like, look at this. What's going on here? He's on a cross. He's dying. He's calling on God. I've been forsaken. It doesn't look very good. I know no defeat. Boy, Joshua understood that when he saw the captain of the host before he went into the promised land. You know what's amazing about that portion? He was standing there before he entered the promised land, and he saw in a vision in Gilgal, one called, he said, "I am the captain of the host. Take your shoes off, or the place where you stand is holy ground." And I really believe this week was amazing holy ground for us, wasn't it? This was amazing. And then it said, he saw the captain of the host. And in the Hebrew language, captain of the host can mean the victorious leader, or it can mean the head of the body. That's what it means. Captain can be used for head of the body. And he saw the one that would lead them into that land and give them victory. And sometimes when I look at myself and I think about what's before me, to live a spiritual life, to follow the call of God, to obey God, to say yes to God, to pray, to read my Bible, to come to church, to have a godly marriage, I can go like, how am I going to do that? He's more than a conqueror. Amen. God gives the victory. How can a person be delivered from addictions? And by the way, how about this? Did you ever hear about the addiction to a good life? That's one of the most powerful addictions on planet Earth. Just living a good life, but not a spiritual life. Oh yeah, no adultery. The kids are doing fine. Everybody's getting educated. Please, I'm not against these things, but I want you to hear this. Everything's going fine. I don't swear. I don't drink. I don't smoke. You're a good person, but you're not saved. And that is more dangerous than anything. Because it's an addiction to a good life, but not having a God life. Are you with me? And you know what? It's amazing how people can be delivered. I can be delivered from a good life. That never had to happen to me. Because I had a rotten life. No, I don't mean it like a rotten life, but I live like a hell on earth. And then backwards. But I got victory when I met Jesus Christ in 1976, January 6th. I was delivered instantaneously from 13 years of narcotics addiction in 1 second. That's how it happened, just like that. That was easy to go. The other ones are tougher. The other addictions are tougher, okay? But victory. We have amazing victory. We have life over death. Are you with me? We have the finished work over trying to do works that please God. We have the victory of the eternal over the temporal. Oh boy, Christians today living. I'm so proud of this church spiritually. This is an amazing church. To see the play and all these people, I would think probably 250 people got saved. Well, I think I did the math. I might have been wrong, but I'm not usually wrong with math. 50, 70, 80, and then 80, something like that. I don't know, something like that. And then how many visitors you think we had in 4 nights? Probably 1,000 first-time visitors, maybe less. I don't know. Where does that happen? You. Your prayers, your love, your dedication, your vision, your life, every single person. As we do this as the body, amen? We do it together. We're praying. We're believing God. And to watch these people come forward and get a Bible and come back. And I was watching some of them last night, how they were just smiling. Like, yeah. Like, they're smiling, like happy. The victory of joy over the sorrow that's everywhere. Absolute victory in Christ. Remember the disciples when they went out? Oh, they were so happy. They came back. Wow! You can't believe it! Even the devils are subject unto us in your name. I mean, they were like jumping for joy. They were Pentecostal. They were like going for it. He said, don't rejoice that the devils are subject unto you, because maybe today they will be, and tomorrow you're not going to have an easy time of it. Rather, rejoice in this, that your name is written in heaven. Here's what you joy about. The work is finished. I am saved forever. Hello? Say that. What a liar. What a liar the devil is, as he has perpetrated this lie into so much of Christianity. When people are really saved and they think they're lost, or they could be lost. Imagine the fear that produces in somebody trying to keep their own salvation. Wow, they don't understand the what? The victory. The Holy Spirit's victory. As we heard this morning in the remarkable message about, here's a man, he's like, who? Jesus, who? Little girls are making him run. Little girls are making him run. The little maid. Weren't you with Jesus of Nazareth? I don't know the man. Probably how we said it too. I don't know the man. Your speech betrays you. Watch me change my dialect and my speech. No. Here he is. He's a coward. By the way, Peter had a problem in much of his life. He feared religious Jews. You see it even in Galatians chapter 2. And he's afraid. He's afraid. And he's like on the run. Jesus looks in his eyes and realizes that he is loved by God, and the perfect love casts out his fear, and he stands up at Pentecost. It's all about Peter stood in the midst of Jerusalem preaching the gospel. And you know what he said in Acts 3, 14, 15? You denied the Lord. What? If anybody denied the Lord, it was you who walked with him for 3.5 years intimately, and you said, I don't know the man. But he has such power in his preaching because he understands he has victory. That God has set him free. We have any sin in our lives? What? We heard it. He who knew no sin became sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. And I love this verse. Are you ready? Hello? Yes.
Mercy rejoices over judgment. Wow. Mercy is like laughing at judgment, rejoicing over judgment. Victory in the mercy of God. I don't care what somebody has done. I was talking to a man the other day in the streets. He goes, you can't even believe what I've done in my life. I says, well, my belief's got nothing to do with that. My belief is who you could become in Christ. And my belief is who you can become right now. And I don't really care about your past and what you've done. He goes, what? He said, what kind of church is this? What kind of message is this? I said, it's called the gospel. Good news. Victory. Jesus has won a victory. All you have to do is by faith step into it. Hallelujah. Victory. God's going to give me victory over 8 airplane flights, 7 airports, 14 in and out of customs. Oh, yeah. I'm going to have a fun time. Why? Because I'm going to look for opportunities for God to reveal himself to some of these people. You know how I witnessed to one guy one time? He was an immigration officer in London. I said to him, could I talk to you for a minute? Because he went through all of my stuff and all this, you know, and whatnot. They go into and they find just Bibles in my suitcase, you know. And I said, can I show you something? I said, I have 50 large paper clips. I said, I get on your plane with these paper clips. I can wind them together and cut your throat. He said, what? I said, that's how good your security system is. He goes, wow, thank you. Give me the paper clips, and thank you for telling me that. Now we'll be looking for large paper clips. Well, I could say that because I know I have victory, and I know I was just telling him something he didn't know. Victory. Victory in all these trips. Victory in the mission. Victory. This young man has 10 churches in Kinshasa. And I know he's talking about sheep in the midst of wolves, but if you've never been, anybody here been to Kinshasa? Yeah, Pastor Philippe's been to Kinshasa. He'll tell you about Kinshasa. Woo! What a place that is. But he's living in what he learned in a Greater Grace Bible school. And he took it, and he brought it to the Congo, Kinshasa. And he's preaching the gospel, and he understands victory. And I can walk into my job tomorrow morning. You can walk into your place, whatever you're doing, and you can say, I know no defeat. I am a victorious Christian. Do you believe that? Amen. Hello? Amen. Come on, come on. Let the food churn. Come on. I believe that. I believe that God has given me absolute victory. That I am the greatest ambassador that anybody could ever have in the place where I work because God sent me there. You're not there to make money, get a job, get a promotion, make friends. You're there to reveal Christ, and Christ will manifest himself through you, and nobody's better than you because God put you there. Hallelujah. Are you with me? And that's in every place we are. God has sent us. We have victory. And the enemy's always going, look at you. You're a mess. You can't make it. You failed again and again and again and again. Yeah, and it'll be again and again and again and again. But he picks me up 7 times or 7 times 7, 49 times. Or unbelievable how many times he'll do that. That doesn't make me want to sin. It makes me realize how much he loves me and how merciful God is. Victory. Victory. That was the scene in heaven when he saw the Lamb coming forth. Remember? He saw the Lamb. He saw the Lamb and he wept because he could open the book. We preached on that. The incredible victory of the Holy Spirit. The incredible victory of the person of Christ. How about the incredible victory of faith over sight and unbelief? How many times I look at things by sight and think, huh, whew. No. By the way, do you ever look at your finances by sight? You look on the checkbook? Huh? No. I mean, look at it, but don't remember it. And live by faith. And have a faith victory over finances. How about a faith? How many times have people told you, nah, you don't know. You ain't got long to live. I had a doctor tell me that one time. He goes like, he says, about time for you to cash it in. I'm like, oh, really? Is that what you think? Well, I have a better doctor than you. He's a great physician. And I'm not going to, I've got victory over the power, using the power of God, and by faith, I believe this will happen, and I am not going down, not yet. I was counting how many days you live. I think it was 20, if you live 70 years, you live 25,250 days. If you live 80 years, you live 29,550 days. And if you live 90 years, you live 32,440 days. So I got a lot of days left, right? Because we believe. We don't let sight take away the victory, all right? We don't let sight take away the victory. We have victory in Christ. Now, thanks be unto God who always causes us to triumph in Christ. And then he says, 1 Corinthians 15:54, talking about the victory we have in resurrection life. And we can experience that today. We don't walk away from just, this is just a holiday, holy day, but it's a day that can be a stepping stone for us to walk with God in victory this entire year. Amen? And realize, and I believe that, and I want to fellowship with that, and I want to trust in that in every aspect of my life. Absolute victory. And not only that, but more than a conqueror. Oh, a conqueror, Napoleon was a conqueror when he won. When he lost, no. We are more than conquerors. Even if it looks like we're defeated, we have won. I had a little phrase the other day, I think, if I can remember it. Jesus wins. Say that. I am in no more sin. Say it. Jesus wins. I am in no more sin. Wow. Don't forget that as you pray for me the next 30 days or so. Father, thank you tonight. Thank you that the Father raised him from the dead. He raised himself from the dead, and the Spirit raised him from the dead. Thank you for victory. Thank you. In 1 John 2:13, the victory of the Word. 1 John 4:4, the victory of the Spirit. 1 John 5:4, the victory of faith. What a victory we have. It's amazing. Thank you for the victory. Finished work victory. Love's victory. Faith's victory. Grace's victory. Peace's victory over anxiety. Security's victory over insecurity. Joy's victory over sorrow. The body's victory over the world. The new man's victory over the old man. Life's victory over death. Love's victory over fear. The word's victory over human reason. Humility's victory over pride. Meekness's victory over reaction and rebellion. Victory. Thank you, Jesus. With our eyes closed, our heads bowed. If you've never received Christ on the internet or here, simply say, Jesus, save me tonight. Come into my life and live in me. Thank you for the victory, the blood, the finished work, the cross, the person of God himself, the victory of the God-man. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. If you want Jesus as your Savior, if you're watching or you're here, just lift your hand to God. Acknowledge God. The victory. The victory. And if you're here tonight, we want to just have a short prayer. Prayer. Maybe there's been situations. Just would everybody just stand? And let's lift our arms to Jesus, our hands to Jesus. And let's, in any area of your life, start to think with God about victory. Victory over anxiety. Victory over insecurity. Victory over fear. Victory over doubt. Victory in relationships. Victory in a marriage. Victory in the finished work, knowing who I am in Christ. Victory in the new person. Victory. Say, thank you, Jesus, for you've given me the victory. I believe by faith tonight for the victory. I'm more than a conqueror. Thank you, Jesus. He became a partaker of flesh and blood so he might destroy him who had the power of death, even the devil, and deliver those who all of their lifetime lived in fear of death. Thank you that you delivered us from death. You delivered us from who we are outside of you. You've delivered us
from bondage into liberty. You've delivered us from sorrow into joy. You've delivered us, God. You've delivered us from fear by loving us. Thank you. Thank you for victory tonight. Thank you. Thank you in Jesus' name. Amen.